Good afternoon, and welcome to Todd Clint SharePoint Podcast number 311, recorded live Monday, October 24th, 2016, from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's right, we are not in Ames, Iowa, and thankfully Todd is not around because I am your host, Shane Young. If you're looking for Todd, he is currently trouncing around Europe somewhere. I got notified by Interpol that they were aware that he landed there, and they're hoping to pick him up and keep him over there for a long time. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that, you know, we don't have a Todd return next week, but as of now, he is scheduled to get elude Interpol and get back. So, all right, our sponsors for the week, as always, it is our good friends at Rackspace, right? They employ Todd. They used to employ me. And, you know, you've got good old SharePoint.Rackspace.com. You can check that out for all your SharePoint needs. Or www.Rackspace.com/Microsoft for all the other Microsoft options like Private Cloud and Azure and all the fun things that they do there. I know my favorite part is, though, about giving you those two links is those are both websites that I developed and got published when I was at Rackspace. So I went and looked at them just now. The SharePoint one's been updated since I was there, but I actually got that property off the ground and kind of worked some back channels to make that happen. And the Rackspace.com/Microsoft was pretty much all my babies. So, and I don't think it's changed since I left. So crazy stuff. Speaking of me, I would say that the sponsor of today's show is The Bold Zebras, www.boldzebras.com, right? Your friends and mine, if you need me for any SharePoint, Azure, Office 365, PowerShell consulting, that's the place to get me. So good times. Okay. So rolling right along, looks like, you know, the chat room's starting to pick up a little bit over there. They're starting to get a little noisy. That Daniel Glenn guy showed up and caused a ruckus. So what do you do? But I wanted to point out from production notes, it looks like 3.10 is out in some places, but not in others. I noticed just now, like it's not on the YouTube page, but it does look like the feeds have 3.10 out there. And so it's, you know, your mileage may vary. But I also want to point out that finally, after a couple weeks of work, Todd and I have started putting the show on Channel 9. So we've talked to a lot of people, and some people prefer to consume technical content on Channel 9 versus on YouTube or the other places. So the show is now available on Channel 9. And I put the last, I think, five. So I think I started with 306. So all the shows are out there, 310's out there. And, you know, let us know what you think. I've been kind of experimenting with, you know, what to use for titles. You know, do I use the goofy titles that Todd likes, like Where's My Scooby Snack? Or do I use more technical things? So any feedback you've got on what we're putting out there would be helpful. All right, and speaking of feedback, in the chat room, Jerry Lucanu just said he just sent me a link. Well, Jerry, I'm not going to see it, so it'll have to be for next week's show. But Jerry's been helping me with some show ideas today because, well, Jerry's a good guy, and he's one of those Rackspace people. So there you go. All right, and then last production note is today's show will probably be delayed weeks, months. You know, it just depends on when Todd comes back because, thankfully, I have not drawn the short straw yet. I have not taken over production duties. I am in charge of Channel 9 production, but I'm not in charge of actually making the show, editing out all those foul looks that Todd makes on camera and stuff. So we will not know when this will get out there too. All right. So as you might have noticed, we'll kind of start with a lighter note here, but you might notice I'm in a different room today. Yay! You got the pretty orange color, which apparently I say that color wrong, whatever. This is my old office, so I was way down there. Now I'm back over here again. And part of moving over here, one of the fun things is actually have a standing desk here. So you can see that I can actually turn around and do the hokey pokey for you guys, do a little dancing, because I am in a standing desk. How cool is that? But I thought that, you know, I'd point that out and talk about it for a minute because we have a, what this is a 36-inch Vari desk, so V-A-R-I desk. And I guess I'm supposed to, like, cut and paste these in the chat room. See, normally Todd does all this work. No, today I have to do it because he didn't do it. Oh, Lori's going to do it for me. Yay, Lori. She's the best. But so it's a nice little desk because it's just got, like, two little handles on the side. So you squeeze them and you can pull it up or push it down. Has some adjustability. I do have both my monitors on here. I've got my keyboard, my mouse, my microphone, my speakers, all kind of just move up and down. My first day using it, so I think it's going to take some tweaking. I think I'd actually like my monitors to be even higher because, you know, you get a split. The split between the monitors and the keyboard aren't ideal for me right now, so I'll probably fix that. But it's a pretty neat little setup. And hopefully the idea, you know, I don't really want to stand. I'm not that into health. You know, I'm happy eating that chocolate chip cookie I had right before we went on the air. But I feel like for making videos and doing the webcast or the podcast or the netcast or whatever we call this thing, Todd changes the word about once every 6 months. So whatever it's called, I feel like just get a little more energy when you're standing up. Because my chair is comfortable. You know, I get in there, especially in those days when Todd starts droning on, Iowa corn, right? When he does that stuff, in my chair, I start to fall asleep and I kind of lose the balance. So I'm hoping that having the standing desk will kind of provide some of that. So I'll let you guys know how that goes. I know several people that use them at work, you know, on a regular basis, mostly for the health benefits. Not after the health benefits, I'm after staying awake when Todd talks. So speaking of me, because this is really what the show is mostly about when Todd's not here to ruin it. I don't know about you guys, but I've been having a lot of problems with my Hotmail today, right? So I have a hotmail/outlook.com address. And both my phone, right, which is an iPhone now. Boo. Oh, I shouldn't do that again. That messes up the focus. But both my phone and my Outlook 2016 running here on my Windows 10 machine, both have been having problems syncing and talking to Outlook. And I know that they released some new experience. They tried to update the stuff lately. So I'm guessing they're having some issues. Love to hear if others of you out there are having issues with the Outlook sync. I know my wife has also been having problems with it. So, I don't know, been a rough day for me. It's kind of annoying when I can't get my email in a timely fashion or they show up in triplicate on one device. It's been a weird day. So, anyway, and probably has nothing to do with it, but I did see that the internet secret keys are getting updated this week. Turns out, I never knew this. This is news to me, but our friends at ICANN, they actually have, you know, that master key that controls their database. And so to kind of keep enough security and avoid us having like a, you know, James Bond type of movie, instead we'll have a Dan Brown type of movie where it's a multi-step conspiracy. But they've actually given the physical keys to access their the virtual key that controls the database. They've given those keys to 14 different people. There's 7 keys. There's a primary holder and a backup for each one of the keys. And so every few months they have to change the key. And to do that, they're actually using a I have to have 3 or more of those key holders show up with their physical keys. They go through a whole bunch of security. And then they use their physical keys to unlock smart cards. They have to put them in. It's a very sequenced process. And it really sounds like the type of stuff that make a great spy thriller of how someone could, you know, sneak in and replace all 7 keys. But they use that to encrypt the master, if you will, of kind of the internet databases. And then apparently this month when they do it, which I think I think it's the 25th. It might be, I don't know. It's sometime this week. Whenever they do it, though, they're going to make a major change for the first time this month. So if they break the internet, well, we went through that earlier this week when, or last week when the whole Twitter attack thing happened, or not Twitter, DNS attack thing happened, but could be kind of scary too. So interesting, though. I never knew. Maybe you did. You're probably smarter than me. You probably did know. I'm sure if Todd was here, he'd lecture me on how he's always known about it. And, you know, he was there when the founding fathers set it up or some stuff like that. But he's not. So speaking of things that go on this week, we're also Microsoft has the big Windows event. So that is on Wednesday. And so you can stream that live starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time. They're going to be in New York and they're going to release a whole bunch of stuff. They haven't said what. There's a lot of debate on what's going to be pushed out there, but it sounds like we're going to see some Windows 10 update stuff. There is rumors that we'll see the announcement of a Surface all-in-one PC. So imagine, you know, a Surface, you know, because we all kind of like our Surface hardware. But so now imagine them kind of doing with the iMac model and actually making a all-up piece of hardware for that as well. And apparently a lot of that, what's going to happen there, they're doing that for some 3D modeling, and apparently they're really trying to kind of take the game up a level, right? So kind of get these desktops so they can start to move into this new world where things like HoloLens and things like that are starting to take place. So they can do some more 3D mapping, 3D drawings, and actually, you know, have a hardware experience that can keep up with this newfound idea they have, you know, where the world's headed. You know, it is going to probably all be, you know, HoloLens helpful stuff. Speaking of that, you know, one of the tried and true jokes in the world is, you know, I've always wanted to be a Microsoft Paint MVP. So part of the rumors is that we're going to see a new version of Paint, and that paint's going to be able to do 3D modeling, right? So it's going to go from being able to do 8 colors in a terrible interface to being able to do 3D modeling. It'd be a pretty drastic update for paint. It'll be interesting though. Will that be a lot like, the whole SharePoint design of front page? Will they have to kind of change the names to get away from that? So I don't know. The last piece of rumors, which I kind of hope for, is also someone thinks that they're going to put out their own version of Alexa, but so put Cortana in a device, kind of like that. So get into the home automation game. Apparently, Amazon's getting way too far ahead because let's face it, all of us who have Echoes think that the Alexa is pretty cool to use. And so Microsoft's trying to get into that game. They'll have a Cortana-driven device. The rumor is also that Apple's going to have a Siri-driven device. So, and I'm not going to say that thing that I learned my lesson last week, that whole hey in that name, because like I said, I'm new to iPhones. So I didn't know that was a bad word to say on podcasts and stuff. But yeah, so the Microsoft event, I think it'll be worth watching. There's hope that they'll announce a new chipset for the Surface Pro 4s, but then I think the consensus is they won't. What do I know? Speaking of new, I kind of alluded to it in the production notes, but Todd and I, we are now putting the shows out on Channel 9. So like I said, I think the last 5 or 6 I went ahead and put out there. And, we're looking for feedback there kind of around the formatting, what makes sense for titles. It's a little bit of a different avenue. But I've been hearing from different people that they enjoy consuming their tech content from there. So that's why we're kind of going down that that track. Apparently, it has better offline kind of replay capabilities, versus, if you were just consuming it from YouTube before or something like that. So I don't know. We thought it was worth a shot. It also makes our friends at Microsoft a lot happier when we're publishing content out there. So now the, Todd Quint Netcast podcast, webcast thing that we do every week is now able to be consumed in another place. So his mom will have to get a new browser window open, I guess, to download it every week because she's the only one that watches, let's face it. Hi, Mom. Also, let's see, rolling right along here. How about this? October cumulative update. So that came out a couple weeks ago, right? The October cumulative update for SharePoint, 2013 and 2016 are the two I've been looking at. The SharePoint 2013 one seems like another run-of-the-mill SharePoint update. The SharePoint CU for SharePoint October CU for SharePoint 16, the 16s all, there's too many 16s. It is still slow, but it is faster than September. So actually I've spent the last 2 or 3 days, I spent most of my weekend installing the update in different scenarios, trying to find one that would work the best. And it turns out that it's just slow. It takes about 50 minutes, maybe 45 in a best case scenario for me on my machine to run the STS blah, 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 EXE. And then from there, kind of the patching process takes about the normal amounts of time. I tried it going back to a old school SharePoint 2016 without any patches, took all the time. I tried it on a one that had September CU, right? So September CU took, I think, an hour and a half to install. Or maybe it was 2 hours. I don't know. It took a really long time as well. So I thought, well, maybe the October one will go a lot faster because the September one did all the heavy lifting. That was not the case either. So my testing is showing 45 minutes to 50 minutes to install the EXE. So I was talking to someone in the chat room earlier. I believe it was Kyle. And he was saying that he had not had his went a little faster than mine did. So I don't know. If you guys are seeing better times with the installs, I'd definitely love to hear about it. The other thing that I tried this weekend on a whim was we talked before, probably 3 shows ago, about the Rust Max update for SharePoint 2013, right? So you run his script, it stops a bunch of the local services, search and IIS and the IIS admin and a couple other things. And then it runs EXE and all that stuff runs a lot faster because SharePoint's not fighting for resources at all. So I went and edited his script to make it run on SharePoint 2016. It turns out you just have to change OSearch 15 to OSearch 16. And once I changed that and ran it, the SharePoint 2016 update still took just the same amount of time. So it didn't make things run any faster. But I probably will blog how I've kind of adapted his script if anyone wants to try it. Maybe there's a way to make it all work better and I'm just missing it. But I don't know. I solved that piece of the puzzle anyway this weekend. What happens when there was really boring football games on Saturday afternoon. So that's that. Yeah, see you faster, slower. On tomorrow, I guess I should have done this before I did the thing on Wednesday, but tomorrow there is a SharePoint AMA, Ask Me Anything, on Reddit. So it's being hosted by the SharePoint product group and some of the SharePoint MVPs. And so that is on Wednesday, 10:25 at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You can hop out there and, you know, ask all your pressing questions, like, you know, why isn't Shane in charge of SharePoint? Or, you know, why is SharePoint ugly? Oh, whatever kind of floats your boat. I know there's a lot of questions I'd like to ask, but I probably shouldn't ask pointed questions in front of other people. So I'll be good and stay out of it. But doesn't mean you can't get in there and ask your questions. So if you're into Reddit at all, get out there and try it out. Or it might be a good reason to learn Reddit. You know, it's Reddit's one of those interesting ones, right? It gets a really bad reputation. And as a guy who spent a lot of time out there in the last year, it deserves that bad reputation. There's a lot of really annoying people on Reddit. You know, the internet trolls that you're used to, most of them come from and start their careers at Reddit because it really teaches troll-like behavior. But occasionally, things like this SharePoint Ask Me Anything are pretty good events. And so they're a good reason for you to go out there and kind of poke and prod around Reddit and figure out if it's good for you or not. I will tell you also that there, you know, there is SharePoint Reddit forums, and they work pretty well. They're pretty troll-free. Man, you start getting to some of those other ones, and all bets are off. So anyway, you've been warned, but go check it out. On the Microsoft front as well, we had Surface Gate. So hopefully you all saw Bill Belichick throw his Surface, right? It was apparently their reason for losing was just because the Surface was terrible. That was, you know, couldn't have been they just got outplayed. It was the Surface's fault. So, you know, he threw it, then he had a press conference where he talked bad about not only the technology of the Surface, but then the really the technology the NFL uses altogether. He's like, yeah, technology's terrible. Like, all right, so sticks and stones and tablets are kind of the way he wants to go. So Microsoft posted a blog post to retort, kind of saying, you know, well, without saying Bill Belichick, you know, you have no idea what you're talking about. They kind of got into, you know, well, this is 7 times faster than the old way, you know, all the things they do every week to make sure that the computer infrastructure supports what they need to do. And, you know, I don't think they said it, but I think one of the other talk shows I was listening to was talking about the fact that, you know, we'll see how Bill Belichick feels when, you know, all of a sudden now you can have the still picture printouts or you can have video on your Surface. We're guessing that Bill's going to kind of want to, you know, adapt and listen to technology a little more when he can start watching live video on the thing on the sideline. So anyway, thought it was fun, right? It's a good old Patriots coach. We got the flight gate. Now we got Surface Gate. So it's all just to distract us from the U.S. election coming up soon, I think. So that's Surface Gate. Also, last week, we talked a little bit about Azure Active Directory Domain Services. I failed to mention that that went general availability a couple weeks ago. So Jerry, good old Jerry LeCanoe, pointed that out to me. So make sure that you go and check that out. And if you're not familiar with Azure Active Directory Domain Services, it's a really big name to say on the air. But with Azure Active Directory Domain Services, I need an acronym for that. For those services, one of the cool things about them is it's kind of like virtualized domain controller. So Azure AD just lets you kind of do usernames and passwords and federation and all that, right? We're used to that. We've had that in Azure for quite some time. But Azure Directory Domain Services, what they're going to do is they're going to allow us to machine join to there, right? So if you want to go and create a SharePoint server, and instead of spinning up a domain controller VM, like I've kind of talked about in the past, you could just go and connect to Azure Directory Domain Services. AADDS, as Lori would like to point out to me. But really, though, it's important to understand that Active Directory Domain Services are new, and SharePoint doesn't support them yet. So the same way that we can't host our SharePoint databases on Azure SQL Database as a Service, we can't have our SharePoint servers connected to Azure Active Directory Domain Services yet. It's coming. The guys are working on it. But as of right now, it's not supported. But I think it's a great indication of kind of where the world is going, you know. It's still not there, right? It's the first pass. We're not, you know, it's not your enterprise AD yet. It's not kind of all encompassing. But for those of us that are just looking for simple scenarios, like if you go and watch one of my videos on, you know, building a SharePoint 2016 farm using Azure Infrastructure as a Service, one of the things I have to do first is create a domain controller and then set up the virtual networking, the DNS and all that to make all that work so I can then build my SQL server, my SharePoint server, and join the domain block. At some point in the future, not today, but some point in the future, I should be able to just go out and create the VMs that I need and then just correct Active Directory domain services and do that. But, you know, and I think that brings me to another one of those points we talked about. I talked about a little bit this last week with some other people, was that, you know, one of the things about Active Directory that should scare anyone who's paying attention, quite frankly, right, is how many of us have been running the same AD since 2000 or 2003 or somewhere back in that skate, right, where you create your first AD, you press some buttons, and you're like, boom, we have AD. And then you've just kind of upgraded that thing over and over and over the years. It's a train wreck, right? I'll admit it. My domain, train wreck. It barely runs. I have like 40 users and, you know, one little simple domain controller, and it gets more errors than I know what to do with. And so I think what you're going to see is at some point the world's going to accept that you're going to start over with Active Directory. We just can't keep updating crap forever and ever and ever. Some point it's going to bite us in the butt. So maybe Azure Directive, Azure Active Directory domain services will be a chance for some people to start looking at how do I get out of hosting AD business. I don't know. Smarter people than me will figure it out, but I think it's a pretty neat and pretty telling sign of kind of helping people move that way. So big fan of that. Another thing here, I had a quick little thing. I don't even know where I tripped over it, but I tripped over an Azure bot. And so AzureBot, he kind of replaces that PowerShell scripting that I've written that, you know, kind of starts all your VMs and starts all your VMs, right? In theory, you can take AzureBot, put him in Slack, and then just say, start my test environment. And then whoop, 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 whoop. Your test environment will just magically spin up thanks to the power of bots. It seems like a first pass. It seems like something fun to kind of go and play with. Probably not something I'd roll out my production farms quite yet. One of the things I did notice about it, though, is it does require an Azure Active Directory account, right? So when you set up your Azure subscription, you can kind of map that to your Office 365 Azure AD or your work accounts. You can subscribe that to, sorry, so you can set it up to your work accounts, your personal live accounts, or to Azure AD accounts. Well, this is one of those features that only works if your subscription is hooked up to your Azure AD account. And there's probably four or five different Azure-y things like this out there in the world that only work if you're using Azure AD, right? Because Microsoft's trying to drive us there, and I think it's just the easiest scenario for them to solve for right now. So with that being the case, I think you know, you need to go out there and kind of embrace that. So like for myself, my Azure AD, my Azure account, Azure subscription, is set up using my live ID. And there's a way to map my live ID and create myself an Azure AD account so I can kind of start doing some of this automation. The same with a lot of the PowerShell automation can only be done for using Azure AD. So it'll be something to look into. I need to kind of go solve that problem. As soon as I solve it, I'll write a nice little blog post on here's how you do it, but it shouldn't be too bad to do. So, all right, rolling right along. We're almost done. If you're tired of me hawking, well, tough nuggets. We're gonna talk about a couple more things. And so speaking of me talking, last Friday I did SharePoint Cincinnati, nice little conference we held here locally, you know, about 100 people showed up to hear about the fun of SharePoint from different speakers and stuff. Had a pretty good lineup of MVPs and other industry experts out there, so they did let in some scary people as well, but can't always keep Daniel out, so what do you do? But one of the things, I did two sessions. One was on kind of SharePoint admin from the fire hose, just the normal, you know, kind of like this, right? Shane just got on a soapbox and started talking about you need to know this about PowerShell, this about backups, this about SQL Server, this about Apache, this about upgrades, and kind of went through all that. That was fine. But the other session I did was kind of talking about using Azure and PowerShell, or sorry, using Azure Infrastructure as a Service for hosting SharePoint, just kind of going over the different pieces of Azure, like the Azure Directory Domain Services, so people understood kind of what was out there. And quite frankly, no one showed up for it, right? I mean, ended up with a couple of people that showed up at the end, but it was not well attended. And so while that hurt my feelings, because I'm a sensitive guy, but really what it was, what bothered me was really how people weren't embracing Azure, right? There was no interest. I asked people, right? And there was just no interest in Azure. And it kind of scares me when I see And like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'll get to the cloud thing, the Azure thing when I get there. And I just, you know, I want people to understand that, you know, just the same way that we've been pushing you for years to embrace PowerShell, it's part of your future. Azure is part of your future if you're going to stay in this Microsoft space. So I just, you know, I wanted to use this, you know, my pain and suffering so you could all, you know, enjoy my tears. But I wanted to kind of use that to remind you all that if you got your head in the server closet, right, you're not embracing the cloud, you're not learning, taking opportunities to learn about things like Azure or AWS or Google's cloud or, you know, PowerShell, Azure AD. These are all things that you guys have got to start learning, even if it's not part of your job today. The sooner you can start to understand some of those pieces, the sooner you can start to incorporate those into your work. Nothing else, it grows your resume and helps you those LinkedIn recruiters when you start looking for another job, right? Maybe that'd be your motivation, but embrace the cloud, please. Thanks. Last thing, as I'll just congratulate the Cubs and the Indians for getting to the World Series. I think that tees off tomorrow. You know, and apparently it's been a long time. I think Cubs last won in 1908 and Indians last won in 1948. And then there's great memes on the internet talking about how those, you know, the things that weren't invented back then. Right? I think when the Cubs won, there was only 46 states. There wasn't the internet. How sad is that? Well, of course it wasn't the internet, but I mean, there's barely electricity. No, I'm kidding. I understand electricity came out before 1900s. Anyway, thought that was fun when I thought I'd mention real quick. So I think that's it for the topics. Down to the shameless promotion. Well, Todd's in Slovenia, so by the time he publishes this, he'll be back. So there's no reason to promote that. My speaking stuff's done for the year as well. The only other thing I had to mention on the promotion stuff was Lori is starting to plan the yearly birthday charity drive for the Todd Show, right? So every year around Todd's birthday, instead of you guys sending him flowers or breath fresheners or, you know, mirrors so he understands how ugly he is, it seems like a lot of people on the show get together and make one donation to charity kind of in Todd's name. And so if you're interested in that at all, you can contact Lori Gallen. She is, you can hop on the Slack channel or any of the other fun places you know to find Lori and hit up Todd right through the netcast or, you know, at Todd Quinn on Twitter. And so anyway, that's kind of coming up. So there'll be more details about that shortly. But I think other than that, I think we're done for the day. So hopefully you guys enjoy my new freestanding desk. Woo, woo, look at that. No chair. I know, I'm so awesome. Sadly, Todd will probably be back next week, so we'll see him then. But until then, thanks for hanging out with me, and I'll see you next time. Peace.